The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
I was not a sticker gay.
Oh my God, I was all about Sandy Lion. I loved Lisa Frank for sure, but Sandy Lion was my sticker. I had sticker books.
Really?
I was the oilies, the fuzzy ones. I'll get into it.
Okay.
It was like,
are you going to be okay?
I don't know. The nostalgia factor is high in this one.
Hi, Jillian Bezzavalli.
Hi, Patrick Hines.
All right, fam, this is a reminder. We started a Discord.
Yeah, it's a brand new thing. It's an addition. We're not taking anything away.
No, and for anybody who's like my age or older who barely knows what Discord is, it's another platform where we're bringing the community together. So we got the Facebook group and then Discord, which is more like a...
It's like Slack, but for fun.
But I feel like if they don't know Discord, they're not going to know Slack.
I also just learned what Slack was.
I know, okay. Me too. It's like it's a platform where there are like different channels and you can get in there and like go to like the episode channel, go to the pets channel, go to the book club channel.
Tom, our editor, was like, do you want me to send you a link to a Taylor Swift Discord so you can kind of get the lay of the land before we start the TCO one? I was like, I do, Tom.
Oh,
thank
my God.
You. Fellow Swifty, Tom, our editor.
I just was at my daughter's book fair. I was like volunteering, and the number of like kids Taylor Swift's books.
I know.
This one girl spent $70 on like six different Taylor Swift
Good
books.
For her.
But I'm like, but it's all going to have the same information.
It's all the same inspirational quotes.
And like the cat names.
Yeah.
That's it. But there's also the Facebook group, fam. It's the True Crime Obsessed podcast discussion group. And there's like 50,000 people in there.
Yeah,
so
something
come
like
join.
That, give or take.
Yeah. That's all. What are we talking about today, girl?
We are talking about Glitter and Greed, the Lisa Frank story. We are doing the first two episodes in our one episode because this is a four-parter.
Yeah. And so that's going to be our regular episode this week. Right now, episode two is available ad-free on the Patreon. So if you got to hear the conclusion, I got to tell you, this gets much more interesting in the second two episodes.
The last episode really is like, oh.
It takes such a sharp left turn. I was so riveted by the final episode. That is available right now on Patreon at the $5 level ad-free. It'll be our regular episode next week. That's how we do these things.
Yep.
And that's it.
Yeah.
Lisa Frank's art have this nostalgia.
An explosion of color.
Happy. Magical. The cutest thing you've ever seen.
Lisa Frank's story started with a dream that grew into a phenomenon.
Rainbows, unicorns.
The art defined an entire generation. And she became known as the mastermind of an iconic brand.
At one point, they were making a reported $66 million a year.
But behind the colorful brand, you know, things got very, very dark.
How can something that created so much happiness go so wrong?
There's a scary side to the Lisa Frank story.
Not everything was rainbows and unicorns.
Oh, it's a rainbow roller coaster, to say the very least.
It felt like management by fear. Walk around on eggshells.
They just took such advantage of us.
Who's going to survive till next week?
Absolute power corrupts absolutely.
They say you should never meet your idols, and it's true.
Let me just say, right,
please,
at the top,
set the table.
Let this be a lesson to all of us. It is never puppies and rainbows, even when it is literally puppies
and rainbows.
Rainbows.
Yeah.
Like, it's never, it's all a mess.
It's wild because I vacillate between, yes, all talking heads in this documentary, having a job sucks, and sometimes your boss isn't nice, and oh my gosh, she's a monster.
Yeah, you there's a lot going on here. There's a lot going on, a lot
and
of assholes.
And he's a monster.
Yeah.
And we forget
and she's not here.
And she's
it's
not
like,
here.
So we have a lot of unreliable narrators.
It's true. But like a lot of, the other thing that I really appreciated about this is how much people love their jobs. Like, when you get a job as an artist and you get to be an artist, like, people really, like, love that.
Yeah.
And
we just gotta, like, pay them and respect the artist.
Well,
that's the flaw in the plan.
That's the other thing. And it's also, like, we'll get there all throughout, but it's also a study in, like, people needing to know their boundaries and their limitations and people not being afraid to ask for raises. It's like, we've gotta train the people who work for us that, like, these are okay conversations to have.
Yeah, and it's another reminder that the people on the internet are not okay. They're unhinged. So let's dive into episode one.
I wrote that we open with a question that is basically for me, which is like, if an alien with no idea what Lisa Frank was came down to this planet and asked you to describe what Lisa Frank was, why don't you take it away?
Yeah, because you're the alien in this situation.
I'm the alien. I've seen it, I guess, but like, I am just old enough to not have like had this be a part of my childhood.
Yeah, Lisa Frank was a brand and that really got a major popularity in the 90s.
It was an explosion of color.
It was bright. It was vibrant.
Happy. Magical.
Wild cats with patterns.
Anything with like a dolphin on it, forget it.
I mean, it's like, it's the cutest thing you've ever seen. All the characters have these big eyes.
It's really the imagery of like a child's dream.
Very, very bright, very, very surreal, all animals. Like
the it would airbrush be, look.
Yeah, like a dolphin that was also a rainbow, a unicorn.
Yeah.
Big, big eyes. Like very just like, what is that? Like an explosion of color and whimsy.
Yep.
I don't think I've ever used whimsy in a serious way, but it's true. It's very like, whoa, what is that colorful, amazing little baby leopard doing on my folder?
And it was like a revelation in the world of school supplies. Because like at some point they'll show us like what their competition was when it was like a red folder versus this magical dolphin
jumping
world.
Through rainbows. And obviously
you would think this would speak right to my little gay heart.
I don't know where you were, girl.
I was probably at some Indigo Girls concert.
Probably.
You know what I mean? I was probably at drama club taking it very seriously.
Oh god,
you know, like
one of those.
Yeah,
huh?
Oh, you come to rehearsal day one off book for Bye Bye Birdie or don't come at all.
Are we allowed to have any fun or no?
No.
Oh, okay.
You can have fun at the opening night party, but like the rehearsal
but
process
until then yikes.
Okay,
happy I missed that segment of the program.
Oh, it's too bad that we weren't in a drama club together.
No.
Wait, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
They didn't invent Trapper Keepers, right? Like, that's not a Lisa Frank product.
No, I believe Trapper Keeper is the actual name of the thing. Like, the Trapper Keeper was a certain kind of folder that you opened, like,
okay,
three ways.
So they did, like, a collaboration with Trapper Keeper.
I imagine, yeah.
Okay, because for a second...
No, I don't know who owns the trademark for Trapper Keeper, TMTM.
But, like, remember when the Trapper Keeper was the... Now, that was, like, my era. Like, the Trapper Keeper was the coolest thing.
Yeah, and then you could have, I believe that's what it was. They were just collaborating because I think everything, you could have like a sports Trapper Keeper or you could have like a dinosaur Trapper Keeper or something. And
but
I guess
Lisa once
Frank.
Again, I say the gay dolphin, I can't believe I missed it because like the sports, I wasn't doing that.
No, dinosaurs, I was totally doing.
I don't think I was doing that.
Oh my God. I had things at home where you could like do like an archaeological dig at home and it was just like sand.
Daisy has so many of those.
That, I lived for that shit.
Yeah. She like her room is covered in kinetic sand. Do you know what this is?
I don't know what that is.
It's like sand that like cleans itself up, basically.
Are they like...
It's wild.
Is it a living, breathing organism?
It's not real. It's not like the sourdough starter, but it is like, it's sand that like, it gets all over the place, but then you like use the sand to clean itself up. It's wild. It's very cool.
That is news to me.
But I know. I really think
but
I just
kids
invented...
kids don't have sticker books anymore?
No, they just got self-cleaning sand.
Oh, God.
Fam, do you know what kinetic sand is? If you do, get in the group and explain it to me, because I see it and it's magical, but I don't really know what it does.
Okay.
Yeah.
Other than clean itself.
It cleans itself up is all I know.
Yeah.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
So Tracy Egan Morrissey is a journalist. She wrote the big expose that this is kind of based on. And she said when she was growing up,
to say Lisa Rinna.
Lisa Rinna now, now that I'm in Beverly Hills.
Yeah, she seems bananas to me, but I guess we like her.
She's very, I like her. She hasn't been a total asshole.
She hasn't crossed you yet.
No, she's very nice. She's like a breath of fresh air when she comes on to Beverly Hills.
Great.
Because we went through a real shitty. Everyone was like, just get through season four. Season four is a fucking mess. It's horrifying. Just get to season five and you'll be okay.
All right.
That's Eileen and Lisa Rinna. So that's where I am now.
All right. Well, thank you for keeping us posted on your journey.
She's very nice. One of her opening is like, it lets you hear it from my lips. She really leans into the Lisa Rinna lips. And she calls Harry Hamlin. Harry Hamlin. Hi, Harry Hamlin. It's really cute. Who gave this to you? Harry Hamlin.
No.
It's really cute.
Are you serious?
I think it's cute until she crosses someone. I don't know
everyone.
Like I'm going in. This is my first journey here.
Yeah.
So please don't get mad at me if she ends up being horrible. She's very nice now.
You need a Housewives podcast.
Anyway,
I'm petitioning for it.
So Tracy Egan Morrissey is a journalist and she says Lisa Frank was all the rage. You had to have it. And she tells the story that her friend was going to grad school.
And I thought it'd be kind of cute to get her some Lisa Frank stationery, maybe some folders, a pencil case or something like that. And I couldn't find them anywhere. And I was like, oh, what happened to that company? Are they just not making stuff anymore? And so I just kind of went down a rabbit hole.
She wanted to get her school supplies for a fifth grader. Great. Good for you, Tracy.
Look, nostalgia is a very special thing. I got Ashley 1 year for Christmas the T for Troy from High School Musical necklace.
Okay, like, see, that's another thing. I barely know what that is.
Oh, my God. We saw High School Musical 3 in the theater.
You
So nostalgia, cute. I totally am into it, right?
Yeah, totally.
So Ashley had the T necklace before Taylor Swift did, just saying. But it's T for Troy.
Of course.
It's very Troy and Gabriella, this whole thing. So Tracy went to get her Lisa Frank school supplies and she can't find Lisa Frank anywhere.
Yeah.
She was like, back when I was looking for school supplies,
it's the only thing you could find.
And now there's nothing. So she starts diving into why Lisa Frank isn't a thing anymore.
I also want to believe that her friend is going to like medical school. Like she's showing up at like Yale
Grad
Law School.
Like political science.
Totally.
I love that shit.
With her Lisa Frank shit.
I love that. That's very
like
Elle Woods having the pink.
Exactly.
The pink fuzzy notebook.
So we learn through Tracy that Lisa Frank is kind of a mystery, that like very few people have interviewed her. And I was like, okay, I don't know who this person is really, but now I'm intrigued. Because like if it's like this big of a thing, but she doesn't really give interviews, like, all right, Willy Wonka, I'm interested to know more.
Yeah, so Carly is here. She's a fashion designer and she's a longtime Lisa Frank fan. So in 2005, Carly actually gets to interview Lisa Frank and she's like, this is crazy because she's like my hero.
Yeah.
So now I get to like read about her and actually speak to her. Oh my God. So the Lisa Frank story is that she grew up in the suburbs of Detroit, like a quiet, conservative neighborhood.
Went to the same high school as Carly, apparently.
Which is like, oh my God, imagine being Carly. Like, I went to the same high school
as
my hero.
What a coincidence. I know, that's so wild.
Yeah. Lisa Frank goes to Arizona for college. She majored in art education.
Yeah.
And now this one, I was like, oh.
I had the same thought.
To make money in college.
She started building a business. She would go to the reservations and buy Kachina dolls. And she was making money by being this middleman between Native American art and people collecting these pieces.
Taking the dolls they made and selling them and being like the middle person.
And like keeping the profit, I'm assuming.
We don't get the details of what she was doing.
Right.
They just kind of like drop it in. They could have not told us.
1,000,000%.
They did. And then they don't tell us all the details. So I'm like, immediately I'm like, oh, colonizer.
And also documentarian, you would know, I think that you should understand how problematic that story is at this point in time.
Right.
In 2024.
And we hear it, it's like, so this is how she got into the art world.
Exactly.
And it's like, oh, no. That's not really like the foray into the art world.
And then we skip right over to her cute jewelry making. So like we meet her friend Evan from college who is saying that she's like making, now this is the kind of thing I wish I was good at or had like the sense of. She just kind of knew if she made these like quirky, cute little like a cheesecake earring or like button or like a little rabbit eating a carrot or like a celery stuff. And like it works. Like people just like love it to the tune of like Bloomingdale's selling this shit.
Yeah. So Lisa Frank Inc. is formed in 1979.
Yeah.
And her pieces are in Bloomingdale's, like they're in all these. She's ambitious, she's successful, she's creative, she's making money.
And she's very interesting. Like who else would be thinking to like try to market like celery stock pins to Bloomingdale's?
You're kind of like, oh, what's that? Like it just, it gets your attention.
And it's the kind of thing where like, if you have a mind like that, then you're just kind of on the cutting edge of like what people are interested in. Like it's a very, like you have to be some kind of genius to do that.
Well, what she does next.
Yeah.
She gets into the sticker craze.
Or invents the sticker craze.
Like, when I tell you I loved stickers, Mike still gets me stickers. Like, they'll be in, like, a little card that he gets me for an event.
Explain this to me. And I really am just trying to understand.
Yeah.
The joy of, like, peeling it off the paper and then putting it on another piece of paper.
No. Okay. You saved them in a sticker book.
Oh.
And saved them for like an event that you never ended up using them. So you just like had a sticker book. So
okay,
you were like, it was like more about collecting the stickers.
Okay.
So Sandylion was really my jam.
Okay.
Here's what's good about work this week. Two days ago, I was Googling gout, colchicine, murder for hire plots.
Yeah.
Today, I get to take a walk down memory lane and Google image search Sandylion stickers.
Yep.
Now, this was a totally different brand. So that was more my vibe.
Yeah.
So it came in sets. Some of them were fuzzy. Some of them were shiny. Some of them were glittery. There were oilies. Oilies was the big thing.
What's an oily?
An oily sticker would be something maybe like an inch or two big. And it was like, you know how a sticker could be fuzzy?
Yeah.
The thing that this was made out of was like colorful oil that like if you pressed it, it moved in the sticker.
Okay.
These were the best that you only traded like, whoa, only your bestie
so we're
got an oily.
Trading these.
You could trade them if you wanted to. You can save them in a sticker book. I was always making stuff for people, so then I would use like who gets the oily.
Oh my God.
Or I'd save them and they'd live in my sticker book until they turned brown and useless because I was like, I can't use the dolphin oily.
Right.
Unless like I need the most perfect thing for it. And then time would go by and then it's like, oh, now it's brown and it's worthless.
Do you have any of these still?
I think we found a sticker book not too long ago, like several-ish years ago, but they came in sets. So you could buy like pages and pages of like the Christmas one or like the fish. They had like glittery fish that
I
love.
Yeah.
The sticker craze is real. I am here to tell you.
I love it.
Live it, love it.
You know what they have now? They've got like sticker coloring books. Follow me on this. Where you don't color. They give you the stickers over here and you piece them into the pony.
Okay.
So like you color the pony with the stickers. It seems less fun to me.
Oh yeah.
You know what I mean?
So then it's like, oh, it has to be that color?
Correct. Exactly.
Well,
or like, you can
color.
Mix and match, but like...
Oh, okay.
Right, but totally.
In my creative time, I like to be creative.
Listen, I agree. I don't know what's going on. I'm still stuck on kinetic sand.
All right. Sandy Lion for life. I need to get myself some Sandy Lion stickers.
Totally.
If Mike is listening to this, he already wrote it down in his present app. Sweetheart.
So Alfred is here. He was an illustrator for Lisa Frank from 1981 to 1984.
When I first started working for her, it was Lisa and her finance guy, and that's it. Lisa and I, we remained friends. We still are friends to this day. Maybe not after this video, I don't know.
.. Maybe.
I don't know. He's like, probably not after this, but here we go.
But it's like, Alfred, you didn't actually say anything that bad.
No, I mean, look, so this guy responds to an ad in the paper, and that's how he gets hired.
And he's one of the very first hires of Lisa Frank, back when she was like, her warehouse was like in a strip mall.
1981, right?
Yeah.
And this is like, So Lisa Frank, she's described, she has big eyes, she has big, like, black hair.
Rail thin.
Very colorful. Patterns never match. Like, she looked like someone who would come up with these ideas.
Now, that, the pattern
would have,
not-
like broccoli earrings. She looks like a woman who would wear broccoli earrings.
I would never, my brain would never work that way.
You know, like that's just.
Because the patterns that she's like wearing polka dots on the bottom and stripes on the top.
Right.
And it's like everybody's mom has a colorful friend like this.
Like your Betsy Johnsons, your Patricia Fields.
Yes. Oh my God.
Right. But apparently she sounds like Gilda Radner.
Yeah.
Rosanna, Dana.
And people are saying that like whenever they're asking anybody about her, the first thing that they go to is her appearance because she is so like outlandish looking. Or not outlandish looking, but she's just a person with like a really clear sense of personal style.
She'd wear broccoli earrings.
Yeah.
And she'd make them.
I cannot imagine what it would be like to have that sense of personal style. To be like, I'm going to wear this thing that nobody else wears, but I'm going to know it looks good on me and I'm going to wear the shit out of it with confidence.
Yeah, like she wears it. It doesn't wear her.
Totally.
Kind of that, right?
I've never, all of my clothes are wearing me right now.
Yeah.
And just barely.
Barely. But we learned like the thing about Lisa Frank from the very beginning, she always had a very clear vision. She knew exactly what she wanted. She was original. Not everyone understood the broccoli earrings. But she's like, I'm telling you, stay with me. And Bloomies was like, yes, we're
100%. And her market is like little girls 8 to 10 who are spending daddy's money.
That's,
you know, and what a market to tap into, you know.
So 1982, she gets a $1 million sticker order from Spencer Gifts.
Which, I looked this up, by the way. I didn't write it down, but that is like the equivalent of like $8 million today.
It's a huge stickers,
it's order.
It's major.
Yeah.
So Alfred bails. It's too cute for him, too girly.
He's out. Yeah.
Like,
you're
okay.
Still friends. You're still going to the Christmas party, Alfred. You haven't said anything too bad.
I mean, I don't know.
Just like for participating in the documentary.
Right. I mean, kind of. Once we get to the end of this thing.
I'm telling you, it takes a real left turn in the last episode. It might be worth joining the Pates this 1 week just to get it early.
It's
I'm telling you the truth.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall.
No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Lowe's knows to bring your vision to life, it's important to find the right color. That's why MyLowe's Rewards members get a free paint or exterior stain sample to test your look and find the perfect color to confidently refresh your space. Lowe's, we help, you save. Offer valid in-store only 6/19 through 6/25. Limit one per customer while supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See associate for details. Program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
Rondi Kootz is here. She's the senior designer and product development lead from 1987 to 2002. So she was there for a lot.
She was there for a lot, and she has really been through it. And the way that she ends up leaving this company in the end is the most insane, heartbreaking thing I've ever heard.
We also meet Patty. She's a concept artist. And these women are telling us.
And I was like, oh my God, I've got to work here. This is where I have to be. Growing up is scary, but heck, if I could get a job being a kid, then why not?
I did love working there. I mean, it is one of my highlights of my life.
They're like, it's healing our inner child.
Yeah. There's a show on that Daisy watches called True. If anybody knows this show, it looks like Lisa Frank stuff. It's like, it looks like the Lisa Frank world. It's very bright rainbow colors. And
a little
like,
trippy. We could say it.
Literally a little trippy. And they're saying that like walking into the office was like walking into that world. Like it just lifts your spirit.
It's
you know?
I would want an acid trip to be.
Yeah. Yes.
Because I know it can go either way.
You know I'm getting the cockroaches. There's no way I'm not getting the cockroaches.
That's really the only thing that
keeping
has,
you from doing it?
That has stopped me from doing any kind of psychedelics is that like I would want to do it in such a controlled environment in a way where I like inherently trust the person who's guiding me through it because I don't want to take that turn and have like a really bad trip.
Is it based on your mood? Is that how it determines if you get the unicorns or the cockroaches?
No, I think that's too temperamental. I'm not going to start punching.
Can you
the
pay
I don't know
extra
the
for the unicorns?
I don't know. That's the thing where I'm like,
not worth it to find out because I'd be the guy peeing himself in the corner, like jumping out the window with the bugs all over me, like that Helen
but,
Hunt
but
in that movie.
Is that a good thing? Is it arguable that it's like then you walked through the fear and now?
But if I jump out the window, I'm probably going to die.
Well, not that part. Okay. The person will be there to make sure that doesn't
I would
happen.
Hope.
That's the point of like having someone like guiding you there who's not on.
Okay, because I'm never also doing ayahuasca. I'm never going
to
do it.
Like, I want to do it, but I'm scared to do it. Anyway.
Everyone, you poop yourself on ayahuasca.
You do?
Most of the time, you poop yourself.
I didn't hear that part.
Remember when Gwyneth sent all those people into the jungle to do ayahuasca?
No, because I didn't watch that stupid fucking show.
Gwyneth Paltrow sent all of her staff into like the jungles of Brazil to do ayahuasca. The poor gay guy is pooping himself and crying for the hot guy to come over and rub his face, which he does. Everyone survived. And then they're like, we're going to do it again. I'm like, why? What about this looked fun?
Because it's probably like refreshing after. I don't know. Anyway, by the 90s, Lisa Frank was like the school supply company. Pens, paper, stationery, pencil cases. She was charging four times more than everyone else and getting it because it's like you had to have Lisa Frank.
It's what I was saying before. It was either you get those yellow number two pencils or you get the ones with the fucking gay dolphins all over it. What are you going to choose?
Gay dolphins.
The gay dolphins.
But speaking of that, though, it was like aligned with pop culture. So Free Willy was like the rainbow whale.
Yeah.
So what kids were into at the time, suddenly, like you weren't realizing it, but like, oh, I like whales now. Oh my God, there's a rainbow whale.
So
it wasn't like Free Willy.
Right.
It was just like, oh, a whale.
Yes. Yeah.
So they really want us to know.
Lisa may not have, you know, created all the art herself, but she definitely had a hand in the final product.
She would come by and say, you know what, I want some giraffes today. Or give me something with a rhino.
She wasn't physically creating the art.
It's always shocking to me that people have a hard time with this.
Like, she was heavily involved. She was giving specific directions. She knew what she wanted. She was demanding in that sense. She wanted it in a certain way, and that certain way usually worked.
Like, let me say this. We don't edit our episodes anymore. Like, after years and years of me editing these episodes, we hired editors that we trusted and trained.
A long time ago.
I mean, 6-7 years ago?
Yeah.
To, like, hi, Tom, like, and Jennifer, like,
and Jennifer,
the best editors in the absolute fucking world. But, like, that's how this works. Not one person can't run a company and be sitting at a drafting board, like, you know, like drawing every gay dolphin.
Yeah, we'll get into why that's like, that's what a business is in a little bit. But first, but here's where the red flags come in, because if she liked what you did, she was nice to you. And if she didn't like you, she'd make your life hell. And that sucks. Like,
but
that's not okay.
I will never also understand why it has to be like that. You know what I mean? Like, why doesn't Lisa Frank understand that our artists are going to, like, not every idea is going to be a Picasso?
Yeah. And like, for these women who were like, oh, it's healing my inner child, for them to also say it was like trying to please he's a parent.
Yes.
It's like, no.
We've
gone around the bend. This is bad.
If we take anything away from this episode, I want people who are working, and this is not true for everybody. I totally understand. But if you are able to have agency in your workplace, have agency in your workplace. Demand to not be treated like that. Ask for the raise. Tell them that you need to leave at 5. Like, I know that, like, that is not a thing that can apply to everybody, but that is like, you know, that was like just hurting my heart for these people so much was that they felt that they had no other options.
Right. Yeah. So, oh God, James Green.
You really can't talk about Lisa Frank Inc. without talking about James Green. James Green began working for Lisa Frank Inc. in 1982 as the company's first full-time artist. Green quickly became Lisa's right hand and assumed a leadership role in the company.
He's a real character.
He's an asshole.
Yes. I mean, I think he's definitely an asshole, but like, I think it's not, for me, completely black and white.
Well, we learned he assumed a leadership role in the company.
Yes.
He's a talented artist, as he's described, and people are saying he did a lot for their success. All the art had to go through James.
Yes.
And it wouldn't get made without his approval. So he caught everything. He was exacting. Like,
yep.
There was an overlapping star, small errors. His attention to detail was paramount.
And his commitment to the business, right? Like, he's there 24/7. And the other thing to remember, now, this is a bad thing, what I'm about to say. These people and this company existed in a time where it wasn't de rigueur that, like, bosses had to be nice to their employees. Like, that was across the board, you know? So, like, this man does not have any sense of kindness. He does not have any sense of empathy. All he's thinking about is build this billion-dollar business. But that's what working was like until very recently.
Well, that sucks.
It absolutely sucks.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So, you know, sometimes James and Lisa would clash. They would have differing opinions, but they were, you know, the tension. They were working together all the time. They had great ideas. When it worked, and when it didn't, it was explosive.
And people are like, well, who had more power? I'm like, well, doesn't she own the business?
Lisa
isn't
Frank
she his
Inc.,
boss?
No?
Exactly.
So it's the 90s. Lisa Frank has exploded. She's on CNN.
Yep.
She's like, everyone's talking about her. They were in stores. They had their own stores.
Yep.
Someone says it was not just a brand. It was an entire culture.
Yeah, they're getting fan mail from little girls.
I know. It's very cute.
Yeah.
And so, like, Lisa Frank was on top of the world. And here's the thing. She wanted to stay there.
Yes.
And who can blame her?
At that time, there was just so much to lose if something were to, you know, go wrong. Product was promised, had to be on the shelves, they had to ship on time, and it was a lot of product. They required you to just be like boom, boom, boom. There was a lot of pressure.
So it's like one thing to be successful, but then you got to stay on top. And that's the hard part.
And that is absolutely the hard part.
So she was scared she couldn't keep up with the trends and like where the world and where culture was going.
Because
she was like the Beatles for a couple of years. And now she's like, wait.
And because she instinctively got herself there. It wasn't like she was studying trends and was like, I'm going to make this company. Her vision happened to align with the times sort of magically.
And when she's so successful, everyone's going to be comparing the next thing to 1991. Lisa Frank.
Exactly.
That was the height of it.
Yeah.
Now, here's the thing, though. Like, it's described as there's so much to lose. There's a lot of pressure, and not just on Lisa Frank, but her employees.
Yeah.
Her employees are barely making minimum wage. They're struggling to feed their kids. They're qualifying for food stamps. Lisa, girl, what the fuck is that about?
And they're working 12 hours a day. This one 18 woman.
18-hour days.
Yeah. Patty is saying she's working for $8.25, making minimum wage. She describes the story about, like, she says to the producer, I don't know if you've ever been on food stamps, but I would go to the, you have to have an interview.
Yeah.
And you go to the interview, the person's like, why can't you get a job and take care of your family? She's like, I have a job. I mean, this is like was Walmart for years and years. People were working full time at Walmart and still qualifying for food stamps.
Yeah, Amazon too, right?
Absolutely insane.
And everyone's like, oh, it was such high stakes. Not really.
You're
not curing cancer.
It's stickers.
You're making gay dolphin stickers, which I loved.
But the stakes for these people, as I understand it, is more, it's my dream job. Who else is going to pay me to be an artist? My whole family told me I would never make it, but here
That's
I
totally
am.
That's totally fair.
You know? And so it is kind of like, I am going to make the sacrifice of keeping this like low paying kind of shitty work environment for the job that I love. And it just shouldn't be like that, especially when Lisa is living high on the hog and everyone's seeing this. She's got maids and servants.
She lives
and
in a
pools.
Mansion.
Yeah, of course. I mean,
she lives in a mansion and some of these people can't feed their kids or buy toilet paper.
Right.
It's insane.
It's insane.
And then she'd also hire people on salary and then switch to an hourly wage, which would be a significant pay cut.
But this is what I'm saying. Like, I don't understand. Like, and once again, like, I was so a for-hire worker for most of my life. So I understand that, like, you feel like you don't have any power. You feel like you can't go to the boss. And I was thinking about this guy who's telling that story about, like, he was hired on a deal. It feels like a bait and switch to me.
It is.
We're going to pay you all this money, and now we're going to make you hourly, make you work twice the amount for half the money. And I'm just thinking, how did they get away with this?
Now, especially because no one was making enough money to survive. And
right.
I'm talking about putting food on the table, not taking the luxury vacations that Lisa Frank was taking.
Yeah.
The only people not struggling are Lisa Frank and James Green. And oh, guess what?
Lisa Frank and James Green may have started as business partners, but it turns out they were romantic partners as well.
I mean, they seem like, you know, good friends, but apparently Lisa and James had been together for quite a few years.
For years.
Yeah, but then they invite everybody to their lavish wedding.
In 1994, they get married.
Now, this wedding is insane. The horse is all of us because Lisa Frank rides up on a horse-drawn carriage. She gets out of the carriage and the horse takes a huge piss.
You know what?
Right behind her.
Good on
them. The horse is all of us.
So there were like Lisa Frank characters there.
Yeah.
Huge dress, huge hat. Now, this makes me crazy. She asked a guest to also do the videography and
yes.
then was rude to them.
Right.
And the guest is like, I want to enjoy myself too, girl. This is why you hire people. Let your wedding
honest
guests be your
God,
wedding guests.
I know.
For God's sake.
I know.
So they get married. No one really understands or gets the relationship.
Can we also talk a little bit more? Hang on. We got to talk about like the home video that we see from the wedding. Because James is like being a real asshole. He's like, they're drinking the champagne, but he doesn't want the champagne in the picture. So he throws it away. She's like, that's $20. He's like, art direct. They don't look like they like each other at
they
all.
They hate each other.
And they just got married.
They hate each other.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, the people that you invited to your wedding can't feed their kids.
Right.
They can't put
They're
food on the table.
They're all stuffing wedding cake in their purses to take home.
They can't buy toilet paper.
Yeah.
And you're throwing champagne away.
Yes.
You're assholes. So everyone's like, whatever, it's working. I'm like, is it? Because they were married for a few years. And after a few years of marriage, they're still married.
Yeah.
The term that someone uses is Lisa gifted James 49% of her company in shares.
Which is just a very bad business move.
And she does it in the height
yeah.
of her success in the 90s.
Right.
Walmart, Target, Kmart, tons of sales. Like, they're thinking about opening the Lisa Frank amusement park. They have
right.
money to burn.
Totally.
And she gives this guy that everyone hates, including Lisa Frank,
yeah.
49% of her company in shares.
Right.
In the late 90s, Lisa Frank Inc. hit its highest profits ever. They were planning on doing an amusement park, product lines, toys, things like that.
They had big clients like Walmart, Target, and Kmart. Lisa drove a Mercedes. James Green drove a Beamer.
They eventually had a private jet. It was a 12-seater.
A 12-seater.
Yes.
Their employees are on food stamps.
Yeah. Yes.
I'm going to mention it every time.
Yeah.
They have this brand new 300,000 square foot headquarters.
Yeah.
It's a big, big warehouse. You can see the rainbow.
From the airport, from the sky as you're flying in.
On either the private jet or not.
Right.
So.
They got the street named after her.
Lisa Frank
Lisa
Way.
Frank Avenue.
19.
That's what we're going to rename 8th Avenue, by the way.
We can't because she sucks.
But I'm saying I want our street renamed TCO.
Oh.
It's going to be True Crime Obsessed Avenue. What do you think?
It's a little wordy. True Crime Obsessed Avenue.
Are you going to take 7th, 8th, or True Crime Obsessed Avenue?
Can you imagine?
It's on 47th between True Crime Obsessed and 9th Avenue.
Oh my God.
I want to see that. If we can do Gulf of America, we can do anything.
I can't even talk about it. We're not doing it. I don't subscribe to it. It's the fucking Gulf of Mexico.
Can we call the Hudson River the True Crime Obsessed River?
No.
Why?
It's a little too close to that other guy for me. You know what I mean? It's a little too close.
The True Crime Obsessed Harbor? We'll rename the New York City Harbor.
We can name this booth the True Crime Obsessed recording booth. Does that help you in some way? I'm trying, everyone. I'm trying.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall.
No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Stop by Sherwin-Williams and get 30% off select paints and stains June 13th through the 23rd. It's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Refresh your home inside and out with colors that make every space feel brand new. From cozy interiors to stunning exteriors, we've got the perfect shade for your next project. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
So it's 1995. Lisa and James have their first son. They name him Hunter Green the color, because James's last name is actually Green. So their two sons are Hunter Green and Forrest Green.
Do you know what this immediately made me think of?
What?
Are you too young for Murphy Brown?
I know of Murphy Brown. I never watched
it. One of the co-anchors was Corky Sherwood, and her husband's last name was Forrest. So she became Corky Sherwood Forrest.
Oh, no. But that's like a bit for a sitcom.
A bit for a sitcom. And
this
it is
someone's
so
life.
Good. I know.
And then they named two characters after their sons. So Hunter was a leopard.
Yeah.
And Forrest was a tiger.
Uh-huh.
So after they have these kids, James really took over. And he was a super dick.
I'm not saying this to be gross or funny. I cannot imagine the two of them having sex. They don't like each other. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I guess you don't have to like each other to have sex. But, like, what is that? It feels like James, like, weaseled his way in to, like, getting half the company. And that's kind of like...
I don't understand the marriage. I really don't. I don't know why you can't just have a business arrangement with someone.
Right.
I don't get the...
Eventually we're going to learn, like, there was all this external pressure on both of them to get married eventually, and they found each other, and they're spending all this time together anyway. Like, maybe we'll make it work.
No one says anything about it. One gives us any details about any of it. So after they have the kids, James is the president, and he's an asshole. So he would have these really weird rules, and he would have this newsletter called Frankly Speaking, and it's basically telling everyone to shut up and stop complaining and just be grateful to work there.
And it really is culty. Like, this is really very, very culty.
These people are working 18 hours a day and are on food stamps and can't feed their kids, and you're, like, yelling at them. Being optimistic is simply a choice. Be positive. Negative people make positive people sick. You know who makes me sick?
Yeah.
James.
Be loyal. Bosses will forgive carelessness, stupidity, tardiness, and a temper tantrum. These can be corrected, but disloyalty is a true character flaw. You cannot and will not be trusted.
Frankly speaking, where did he come up with that title?
Like, it sounds like a fragile man who thinks all feedback is criticism.
Uh-huh.
Who can't take a fucking... He's a child.
It's literally Dear Leader. Like, that's what this is.
It's exhausting.
Yes.
This is exhausting. And everyone hated this guy, and he would look for things to complain about. So remember, like, earlier we were like, oh, he was exacting. He had an attention to detail.
Yeah.
Now he's overcorrected, and he's a super dick about it, because he would be looking for things to complain about, and then he started this thing called the critique table.
What is so crazy to me is that, like, everybody who has a job and creates a business should do the part of the business that they love and are good at. So he should have been running the books, maybe approving the art
or
whatever.
But he's an artist.
Well, but what I mean is, they need somebody overseeing the people, and we're going to meet her in a minute.
I hate her.
The person they hired to do that, like, loved the job, but was, and I guess, like, in a business sense, was good at it, but was also very unkind.
Yeah. Anyway, James is abusive.
Yes.
He'd be super mean. And it's like, you're critiquing art for your business. There's no need to be rude and abusive to these people.
Right.
Like, someone leaves early to go to the bank to get money to feed their kids, probably, hopefully. James padlocked the door because people were, quote, trying to escape. This man is a fragile, fucking misogynistic asshole.
My whole thing was, like, I literally wrote what in the Triangle Shirtwaist Factory of it all. Like, he wants to padlock them in. And the head guy downstairs was like, girl, we can't do that. That's against fire
code.
Because
someone is going to the bank and he sees it as people are trying to escape.
Which means he's reviewing the cameras to see who's leaving early. Like why would...
He's a creep.
Who, A, wants to run a business like that? And who wants to work there? I'm sorry that, like, you can't, like...
A fragile man who is insecure and everything is an attack on his ego. That's the kind of person this is.
Yeah, I guess so. And by the way, Lisa Frank is nowhere to be seen. So once she has the kids, she basically works from home all the time.
Right. And so, of course, the first episode ends with, like, we learn all this shitty stuff about James Green and, like, he sits down. Oh, my God, James is here.
No, listen, that was a real aha moment for me. Like, I gasped when we saw him. I couldn't believe we were going to get it from his perspective.
So when episode two starts, he's like, all the bad stuff is a lie. He's exhausted. He wants a drink. I am the documentary. I'm the real Lisa Frank. I created the monster. Like, sure, Jam.
He's also, like, just... It makes me very uncomfortable when people talk to the filmmakers like this. Like, he's very rude to the filmmakers.
Can you imagine going to dinner with this guy?
No.
He is at a restaurant?
No.
You know what I mean? So here's the James Green story. He grew up in Detroit. His father was a military guy. And James explains...
Ever since first grade, I've been drawing. So my first grade teacher told my mother I was going to be an artist. She signed me up for CCS, a very well-known art school for advertising design and industrial design. After that, I worked for like the best airbrushing illustrators in the country. And I just kept airbrushing.
But he started doing airbrushing, which is the style of Lisa Frank.
Yes. Which is like, it wasn't that before him, right? Did he bring that to them?
I think they all sort of had it together. I think he was like thriving at Lisa Frank because their aesthetic was very, very similar.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So he's like opening his own studio, and out of the clear blue sky, Lisa Frank calls him. To this day, he's like, I have no idea how she got my number. I never asked. But, and I'm like, really? I call bullshit on that.
Or does it just tell you the level of like disconnect they're actually, well, like they never actually had a conversation. They never talked to each other.
It's so weird.
Yeah.
Like, the relationship is so weird, and he's the most unreliable narrator. So, like, I don't... That's annoying to me, documentary, that we don't know the truth, really.
Yeah.
Until later, when we're hearing from other people that Lisa Frank, like, totally destroyed their lives.
Oh, my God.
But in this dynamic, it's like, I don't really give a shit what James says, because I don't know who
well,
to believe.
And more to his backstory, he says, like, she asked him to come, like, move to Tucson.
1982, this is.
Yeah, he's like, I had nothing to lose, so he drives down to Tucson. He gets there, but she had already hired somebody else to do the job she hired him to do. So he's pissed, and they decide to have a, rather than pulling their peens out, they decide to have like an art contest.
She's like, you know what?
Know.
Never mind. Let's have a contest and the best logo wins. Again, is the story real? I don't know. I have no idea.
Well, he, according to him, he makes the famous Lisa Frank logo. It's a goddamn good logo.
The one we know and love.
It's beautiful.
To James. It's all him.
Yeah.
I didn't really have a title, but I was basically the company's first full-time artist. But I was more than just an artist. I mean, I created all the sell sheets, the trade show booths, anything visual and marketing oriented, I did it.
Like anything visual and marketing related, he did.
And he's got, I mean, if it's true that this was his idea, he's got good ideas. Like, he's the one who put on the back of the stickers, like, write to us. We want to hear your feedback from our fans. Like, it's all about, anybody who's listening to this who wants to start a podcast or anything, whatever, it's all about engagement, engagement, engagement.
Yeah.
Like we are such a strong podcast because we've got such a strong community of listeners that we love and love to engage with. Like, that stuff really works.
And in 1987, you're, like, putting your address on the back of a sticker sheet.
Yes.
And telling people to write to you.
And, like, little girls are writing fan mail. Like,
right.
they love it so... Would you have written a fan letter?
Sure. I mean, maybe. I probably would have made... Because I wrote a lot of things and I made a lot of things. So I was making cards for people. Like, that was a lot of the stuff that I made. So stickers really came in handy on, like, the envelopes and stuff like that. So, yeah, it could have been... I guess if I was, like... really there in the peak of it.
Yeah.
Because I sort of came along towards the end. And it wasn't just the Lisa Frank stickers. It was like all stickers for me. It was like my hyperfixation at the time. So it was like the Sandy Lion one. So whatever.
So Sandy Lion is not Lisa Frank.
No. It's a totally different brand. But it was like part of the major sticker craze.
I wrote two fan letters in my entire life.
To who?
One was to Alyssa Milano.
Okay. Did she write back?
No. Oh. And the other one was to Claire Danes.
For what shows?
My So-Called Life. My So-Called Life and Who's the Boss.
Okay.
I was like obsessed with both of them.
I love Who's the Boss. Who's the Boss is on Hulu. If you ever need a quick 22 minutes of just
God.
Like joy. There's a Frank Sinatra episode that's great.
I follow Danny Pintaro on like all the social. He was Jonathan.
Yeah.
And they've been trying to like, he's been trying to get them to do a reboot for you. Wouldn't that be great?
Oh God. I fucking love Tony Danza.
Oh, me
so,
too.
Like,
did you hear that whole thing when he was like a dick on the red carpet?
No.
There was like a whole thing where he was like, it was like on a Broadway red carpet and some like Broadway influencer asked, and he was really, you can watch it. He was like really rude. And so then like the influencer like tweeted it or whatever, and then Tony Danza doubled down on being an asshole.
He did. He didn't apologize?
No, and which is too bad, because he's like America's dad. Like, everyone loves Tony Danza.
He's so cute.
I'm going to give him a pass on this.
Yeah, and like in Who's the Boss, like, it's funny.
Yeah. It's so good.
It does kind of hold up. Every once in a while, we'll put it on if I'm like, you're like cleaning up after dinner or something.
Oh, Leah Remini was from Who's the Boss. Remember that? She was like Sam's like model friend.
Oh my God. I remember Stacey Carosi from Saved by the Bell.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Anyway, 1987, James and Lisa clean house. They fire everyone. They start fresh.
Yeah.
And that's when a lot of people in this documentary started. So, like,
right.
James wants everyone to know, like, shut up, you dumb bitch, Jillian. It's not a sticker company. It's an art company.
Oh my God.
And I'm like, all right, James.
I want to see, like, you working for James. Like, that would be.
I wouldn't.
But you would kill him. You know what I mean?
I just would walk away. I would not engage.
Yeah.
That's the thing. We would never get there because
yeah.
I like he would yell at me in my interview and I would just be like, I'm not doing
and
this.
I'm telling you, that is the work environment people were conditioned to believe was normal, like, until 5 years ago.
It's just like, don't yell at me.
I know.
I just got here.
I know.
So they,
I like Sandy Lyon better anyway.
Yeah, seriously. More options. So they went to the school supply business. Business was booming. And it was genius because like you'd go down to the school supply aisle and it would be like a whole row of plain folders and then Lisa Frank. And it's sort of like, it's apples and oranges. It's a no-brainer.
And
it's like,
I just kept thinking, how did nobody copy them? Like, you know what I mean? It seems like they ran the table forever.
I'm sure they tried to. I'm sure they were sort of like, here's a really glittery, I'm sure there were people trying to do something kind of similar, Lisa Frank-esque, as much as you could.
Can't be the only gay seal in town.
No. Look, gay seals for everyone.
Gay seals for everyone.
Now, at first, James was airbrushing all of the art by hand.
That was so painstaking. Hard. So I took this airbrush look and feel into the computer graphics world. After that, we became unstoppable. I had built an art studio machine. I became president of the Lisa Frank Company in 1992, and I ran the company and I called the shots.
And by 1992, he's the president of Lisa Frank. And it looked and sounded, he's telling us, that Lisa Frank drew every single thing and she didn't. But and like, I'm like, who thinks that she's actually doing that?
And I guess like an 8-year-old girl, it's fine. You think that there's just like fancy lady who lives on a cloud who's like making all these stickers.
Okay,
fine.
But like, let them have that fantasy. Right. It doesn't matter.
But I mean, it's just like any adult would understand like there's no way this one person is doing all this stuff.
It's very weird. They really want us to know that. And I'm like, we know. We know that it takes a whole team to
make
the billion-dollar corporation run. I know.
Okay.
Takes a village or whatever. Like, I'm aware. There's a team of artists. Like, I got you. Don't worry about it. Like, what?
I love that this is the thing that really made you mad.
Wait. No, I know. I'm not even.
No. Episode 2, fam. Episode 2.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall.
No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
So, like, Lisa did sales, and she did product development, and everyone else did the art. And I'm like, right, it's called Lisa Frank, Inc.
And this is what I'm talking about. Like, James describes her as, like, loving to be in those meetings. And he says, I couldn't talk to those people. And, like, everyone should do the part of the business they're good at. You know what I mean?
This is a business. People have ideas, and then other people who are good at those ideas make those ideas the reality, and then everyone works together to make the business.
We're confused about what's confusing.
And I'm like,
I know.
It's a business. What is the problem here? Everyone's too in their fucking feelings.
We're also selling stickers and pencils. Can everyone take a deep breath?
It's like too
much. Except for the people on food stamps. You have every right to be insanely furious.
Right, but this whole like, oh my God, like we have
that
to get
that was my
it
mom's
right.
story, by the way. My mom, the entire time I was growing up, had a full-time job making $25,000 a year with four kids and was on food stamps.
Yeah.
Like that was, I mean, that was...
And then you go there for help and they like interrogate you about why you're on food. Like what are you doing wrong that you're wasting all your money?
Unless you have grown up in poverty like that, you can't understand the shame. And I could cry talking about it. Like when I was a kid, I've told this story in the podcast before. I would go to the grocery store with my mom, and many of my friends from high school were like the checkout people, you know. And my mom would go to pay with the food stamps, and before she would leave, like before she would get in the line, I would go and wait in the car because I was too embarrassed.
Of course,
you know.
Yeah, I totally understand.
And
that.
Meanwhile, my mom is working 50 hours a week, and we barely see her, you know.
Of course,
and but still needs food. So I'm. If it sounds at all like I'm on anybody but the worker's side, I'm not. I'm just saying I worked in environments like this all my life.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
There was no. I grew up working in kitchens. There's no complaining.
Yeah. Right now, James is the bad guy, girl. I think we agree.
No. I mean, I guess I kind of understand from James's worldview why he gets frustrated eventually. Like he's like, but I did all the work and I made this company a billion-dollar company, and he just doesn't understand why he's not going to get credit for that because you were awful to everybody.
Yeah, you were
awful. So, like, that's your legacy. Your legacy is not the billion-dollar company. Your legacy is how you treated people.
And also, I'm not defending the actions of Lisa Frank that we will learn about, but, like, who came up with the rainbow dolphins?
Right.
James, did you, or did you execute it well?
Right,
but
right,
that's
right.
what I'm saying,
yes,
where
yeah.
it's like everyone plays the role here.
Yes.
So like, it's not surprising or shocking to
right.
me that it's not Lisa Frank Inc. run by Lisa Frank alone.
No.
It's like everyone is working together to make this happen.
Also, I know that this is one of those companies where they couldn't ask for the raise. I'm not saying that to them. I'm just saying today. Like
yeah.
today it's different. Please ask for the raise.
Yeah. So now we get a little bit more, but not really, about this quote romantic relationship
right.
between Lisa and James. James doesn't want to talk about it.
Right.
He's like,
there was a time we probably were, there was some love involved, but the interest definitely came from her. It wasn't the kind of relationship that you people are normally used to. You're watching too many movies, I think, but this wasn't one of those movies. We were having a good time. We were working hard, and then we got married.
She was the one that wanted it, not really me.
Now he's got to make it seem like he didn't want anything to do with it, I guess.
I know.
I think this is all bullshit. James did not want kids. He was not excited about his sons, to which I say, what an asshole. They're here now, you dick.
I know.
Can you just love them anyway?
He like looked into the camera. He's like, never really wanted kids. Didn't really want to be a dad. I do believe he loves his kids. And I do believe he was a good dad.
They asked him, were you excited when
yeah.
your kids were born? And he says, no.
No, I know. And I, but,
James, girl. So after the kids, Lisa, we're told, was barely in the office. And
yeah.
James was in the office, and people would work there for months without even meeting her.
Which, once again, is normal.
Is normal, because she would come in when she needed to be there,
yes.
like, for the buyers.
Right.
And I'm like, right, they want to meet Lisa Frank.
Right.
So then Lisa Frank comes in. I'm not...
I know.
Again, I'm not defending her. Everyone is acting like we've never been here before.
Right.
And I just...
But
I'm
even
not...
the people talking to the documentary today is like, I mean, I worked at Lisa Frank Inc. for 3 months
like,
and didn't meet her.
Like, is Calvin Klein checking in at 9 a.m. and leaving at 5 p.m.?
No.
You seeing Calvin Klein in the fucking break room,
no,
Cheryl? Probably
no.
not.
No, I know. And like, maybe, I don't know, maybe it's because it is that brand that like you, it makes you feel the family feels, and it makes you like you think,
but
you're
everyone
gonna...
was mean to everybody. You couldn't
know,
feed your kids.
I know. It doesn't, like, so everyone seems confused about all the wrong things.
Like, whatever. So the 90s end. Now it's the 2000s. Culture has changed. And so now the company, because they want to stay on top.
Yeah.
The company needs to evolve and adapt.
And then Britney Spears was hitting big at that moment.
I think I did it again.
And there was the Spice Ladies, or the Spice Women.
The Spice Girls?
The Spice Girls, yes.
Come on, really, really, really want to.
Oh, the Spice Ladies, the Spice Women, they
and
came
this
along.
Guy, he seems like a homosexual to me. He should know better.
And then he's like, ah, yes, the Spice Girls.
The
and I'm
Spice
like,
Spice Women.
Where the am
I?
Like, does he think it's like the chicks where we can't say the Spice Girls?
Right,
no,
like,
one's insulted by saying the Spice Girls,
the
right?
The Spice Ladies.
Please don't take the Spice Girls away from me.
I know.
God.
He says the Spice Lady, the Spice Women.
So the men all decide, well, no, we can't do animals anymore. We have to do what they describe as sassy girl characters.
Yeah.
And all the women are like, this is terrible. Why can't we just keep doing what we were doing? Why do we have to go to like Pirate Girl and Rockstar Girl? Like, it's we're not Lisa Frank anymore.
And this is also, by the way, when the male artists start to be like, ah, James finally understood my vision. He
yes.
finally knew what I was good at, infantilizing young girls.
And like, could we maybe meet in the middle and make something? Like, we don't have to get rid of the animals for
uh-huh.
the sassy girl thing. Can we stick with what works and maybe try something?
And
but
the
no.
idea was, the thing is, like, just keep making things for eight-year-olds. Don't grow with them. They're eventually going to outgrow this. But guess
yeah.
what? We've got a population crisis. People are not going to stop having kids. Lots of kids are going to keep turning eight.
I'm doing my part.
You
know, I'm trying.
I know, you really are.
I'm really trying.
You are taking one for the team.
I'm really
here.
Trying. And it's been great. When I say happy to do it.
Oh my God.
The level of joy it brings me to not have a child.
I know. You did not have to volunteer at your daughter's book fair today the
I
way
did
that
not.
I did. And the way, and the moms who like arranged the book fair are the most amazing women
sure.
I've ever met. But when I tell you the type A-ness
of the. I want
the
book fairs to be amazing.
No.
Let the record show. You know how I feel
of
about
course.
This.
Of course. Oh, no. I'm just sharing my trauma from, like, I was trying
okay.
to pack the boxes for them at the end of the book fair,
sure.
and I wasn't, like, packing them exactly right, and the moms were getting very frustrated with me,
oh, no.
and I was like, I'm sorry, we sent the wrong husband. The wrong husband is here packing
Where
the boxes.
Where was Steve?
He was here at work. Daisy, okay, the truth of the matter is she wanted me at the book fair, because she knew, you know why.
Oh, okay.
You know why she wanted me
why.
At the book fair.
Yeah.
Because Steve gave her a budget, and we know that's not a thing
that's
with
not
me.
Work.
No.
But she's buying books, Steve.
I know. No, well, but she didn't. Oh. She bought a Lego set and a painting kit.
Okay.
Yeah.
Creative.
Sure.
Art.
Yes.
We support the arts.
But I do think it is good. Like, I was when I was Daisy's age, I got $5 for the book fair, maybe.
So, again, James is specific. He's exacting. He wanted everything exactly how he wanted it. And not, yeah. And because of that, it's not just like, wow, he has a vision. Everyone's on eggshells.
I do think that James had a very creative mind, and I think that he had a vision. But at the same time, yeah, I think that making me redraw something for the fifth time may have, you know, made him in a better mood.
It's a totally horrible place
to
work.
The women who've been, like Rondi, who've been there in product development from the beginning, aren't allowed to say to him, I think this is the wrong direction. Mm-hmm. He's not listening to them.
No. And they haven't, like, earned it. He's just an asshole.
Right.
He found his true counterpart, his soulmate, in Rhonda Rowlett.
Say it again, girl.
Rhonda Rowlett, I think. Rowlett. She's the head of HR.
She is
now,
the enforcer.
James, this sneaky little fucking coward,
yeah,
would tell on you to Rhonda, and then she would fire you. Yeah. And sometimes she wouldn't tell you why.
No, and she had no problem with this, by the way.
She goes, I fired so many people, like hundreds of people.
They're like, can you give us a number? She's like, oh, girl, no.
Hundreds, maybe even.
She, like, Rhonda does seem like a normal person, but like,
no, she doesn't. She says, they ask her about James. He's like, everything he ever did and will do, he's a genius. He's a god. He's a genius. All yesterday, today, tomorrow, genius all the time. That's not a normal response.
No. That's not a normal response. But like, people who work in HR are heroes to me. But the ones that have to do the firing or like the bidding of the bad people, that's fucked up, Rhonda. But she does seem like she seems like she really loved the company. She's working 15 hours a day on the weekdays. And then on the weekends and every holiday but Christmas.
She's on a power trip. Because Philip, the designer, was diabetic.
Yeah.
And now James wants everyone to stay late. Everyone's on food stamps, by the way, and can't feed their kids.
I know.
And James has a mansion and a private jet.
Yeah.
But James wanted everyone.
Literally a private jet.
Like, James wanted everyone to stay late, and Philip couldn't.
There was a guy who was a diabetic. They told us we all had to stay super late. And he goes, I can't. We never saw him again. We never saw that guy again.
He's fired without cause. And Philip is here today, and he's like, yeah, Rhonda wouldn't tell me why.
And
I was
Rhonda's
just like,
that's
again.
A lie. She's saying that never happened, and we never would have fired somebody for whatever. And her point, but this is like, I've seen this happen. I worked corporate jobs where you would see this happen. They would fire somebody for tardiness, or they, but really, you know, they're firing them for whatever reason they want to fire them.
It was just, it was a heinous place to work. They called it the Rainbow Gulag.
I know.
Someone died at work. Someone died.
I know.
And everyone had to keep working. No grief. Counseling, no respect.
But
and
he
James,
died at his desk.
Yeah,
he was like,
James goes, that was weird. Remember when someone died? No empathy, no warmth. I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
I know.
Not even sitting now being like, I was a tyrant. That's a horror. I can't believe what I did.
Yes.
And Lisa Frank was also a tyrant, but like, I was part of it.
I'm gonna go on the record and amend my opinion about Rhonda. Can I take it back?
Please. She's crazy. They're all like, he's crazy and she's crazy. And they saw each other. They were like, oh my God, this is the real relationship. And later people are gonna think that they're having an affair and they're both going to deny it, and I don't know. They seem to get along more than any other two
Listen,
people
she's
here.
She's tired all the time now. She's going to tell us that to her husband on
camera.
I don't
give a shit.
Okay.
Because these employees, someone died at their desk, and James doesn't care. Even today, he hasn't grown a little bit of empathy in these 40 years. Employees are contemplating suicide.
I had a brother who committed suicide, so that kind of kept me from doing it. I said, I'm not going to put my mother through that, or my kids, or my wife. I definitely felt like they were trying to break my spirit. I think that was the way they operated, was that they wanted people who took whatever shit they piled on them.
They're feeling trapped. They're overworked. They're underpaid. They're miserable. And someone's like, it felt like they wanted you to break.
Yes.
It felt like James was being an asshole to see how far he could go. And I'm like, well, that's sadistic.
But it's also probably he just didn't care. You know what I mean?
But he cared. He didn't care maybe, but he also cared too much because everyone was paranoid because their phones were tapped and James was reading your emails and then firing people based on the emails.
And then now, of course, they're saying they didn't do that. But like Rhonda's like, I didn't have time to read people's emails. I'm like, yes, you did.
But
girl.
What would happen is you and I would be emailing.
Yeah.
You'd get fired for whatever was said.
And by the way, when email was invented, you would do this. You would email the person next to you in the office. Like, that's like, I remember doing that.
Fine. People still do that today. I text Mike in the same apartment.
Yeah, but I mean email. You know what I mean? Like, you would, anyway, the point is just like, people really did have conversations over email.
Right. But what I'm going to say is, you and I are emailing. You get fired.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know why. They would come to me and say, you're only here because you didn't respond to what Patrick said, just so you know.
Yeah.
And you're like, wait, What?
Yeah, it's the dear leader thing. Because what would happen is like, oh, James is coming in today, barf. And then
James,
like,
this is a business. Grow up.
Yeah. Wait, but it's also like, I guess they assume these artists are a dime a dozen. Like they, like everyone is expendable.
And then, like, James is erratic. It's unsettling to a lot of people. It's dangerous. One second he'd be fine, the next second he'd be screaming. And this is why the cocaine rumors start.
You don't want to be doing cocaine when you're in a business environment. What are you, an idiot? I mean, you don't do drugs when you're in business world. I mean, I don't.
You didn't use cocaine.
No, I used cocaine. Everybody's used cocaine in my generation. Shit, I was around it like, you know, it's like all over the place.
No, I totally did cocaine.
Of course I did cocaine.
Of course I did.
Just
it was the
work,
90s.
Idiot.
Right,
you
exactly.
Idiot girl behind the camera, you dummy. Look at those fucking arms, you idiot. And the director's like, okay, so like, do you think that people maybe made an assumption because you were acting like a maniac?
Yeah.
So like, it's not that far-fetched for people to be like, maybe he was on cocaine since he was doing it socially anyway.
Right.
And he's acting like a maniacal nightmare.
Yes.
And James is like, absolutely not.
It was definitely not me.
You idiot. Because they're like, well, do you think maybe also they were curious about like your temper? James goes, what temper? I don't have a temper. I don't have a temper. And
I know.
Like, ooh, sounds like a real fragile man to me.
This is where I have the note in big, bold, beautiful letters. It's just stickers.
And then he starts excusing his behavior and laughing about it. They're like, can you talk about that time you flipped over the critique table? And he was like, I never did that, but if I did, they totally deserve it because the art sucked.
And he's like, and they would have thought it was funny.
No.
Right.
Like, no. Like, we're here now, James, to talk about it all.
Yeah.
And you can't do the Lisa Frank documentary.
He's
just
only,
to talk Lisa Frank.
You
got to do it all.
You took the words out of my mouth. He's
mention
only here for the part of the shit talking of his ex-wife.
And he didn't realize that or thought he'd be able to maneuver.
Skate around.
Snake his way out of it.
And these people who sit for these interviews who just have no understanding of what they're going to look like, how they're going to come off, you know?
Rhonda, too. Hundreds. I
actually couldn't give you a number. I don't know. It was
so
many.
I get horny firing people, says Rhonda. So, because, and he's like complaining now about how hard his job was,
yeah,
and trying to excuse his behavior. Rhonda worked 15-hour days plus weekends. She took Christmas off. She walked uphill in the snow both ways.
I have right here, and you fucking loved it. Say it.
Rhonda.
Say it, Rhonda.
Here's a question. Could you feed your kids?
Right.
Because no one else could.
Yeah.
Were you walking uphill both ways to the welfare line?
Right.
And the food stamps line?
Yeah.
Yes or no?
No. I mean, absolutely not. Neither was Rondi. Like, you know what I mean? Like, these...
Like, we're all busy. You're making rainbow folders.
Right.
I don't want to hear it.
I know.
Everyone's stressed out.
I know.
Get a grip. Literally nothing is an emergency. Nothing that went on in those four walls of Lisa Frank Inc. was an actual emergency.
Well, you want to hear about a real emergency?
Yes.
So we're back to Rondi. So Rondi was one of the, like, directors of, like, product development. She was there, for, like, forever and ever and ever.
There's Rondi who we like. Rhonda, we don't. Just to be, I don't want you guys to think that we're confusing them.
Yes. So Rondi says that Lisa and James invited her to go to Toy Fair in New York. That's a huge convention every year. It's a really big deal. She was really excited to go. And she says the day before, her husband was in a terrible ATV accident. He had broken legs and broken arm, punctured lung. He was in critical care.
So I called Lisa to tell her that, you know, this happened and I couldn't go. And she just started yelling at me, screaming at me, why should I have to stay with him because it was his fault?
Lisa starts screaming at her, asking why Rondi has to stay when it was her husband's own stupid fucking fault. Mm-hmm.
And he's in a wheelchair now.
Yeah.
And she's not focusing enough on work.
So not only does she not go, and Lisa's like, well, you're never going to get this opportunity again. When they're back from Toy Fair and the husband is at home in a wheelchair, she's being accused of not focusing enough on her job.
Nothing is that important, especially the rainbow stickers and folders that I love.
Yeah. No.
Nothing is that important.
No. Nothing. And like, when I tell you that this is like a tiny little snippet of how bad she actually really is.
Because they were saying, like, you know, of course you're thinking, like any abusive relationship, like, why didn't they leave?
Yeah.
Could be a question someone would ask.
I think it's pretty clear.
Like, I think it's, but because what I was going to say was that, like, either you're a favorite.
Yeah.
And you'd always sort of hang on to that and chase that dragon of like, remember that week they were nice to me? If I could just get back to that, this would be great. Because remember, when you did good work, they were nice to you. And when they didn't love the work you were doing, they were mean to you.
Yeah.
So they were using that, throwing that power around, manipulating you.
And you feel like, and all of the workers have been saying all along, they felt like there wasn't other options for them. Anybody who has any job feels like they are only qualified to do that job. I remember feeling that way when I was trying to get out of my my hospitality jobs. And there's literally nothing else I can do.
And so Rondi is like, fuck you and fuck your folders.
Yeah.
She leaves. And she goes to like now adjust to this new life of hers with her husband.
Yeah.
It's a total, that changes your life.
Yeah.
An accident like that happens. And when she leaves, she says, I was free.
Well, Tony also leaves. He was the one that was saying that he was feeling suicidal, couldn't feed his kids. He says, well, one day he gets called up to Rhonda's office where he's accused of working on freelance projects
at
his desk. Right.
He can't feed his kids.
Right. And he said he wasn't. And she says, I don't believe you. And he says, I told her to fuck straight off.
I'm cussing James out the whole way out the door saying, hey, you're welcome to come down and meet me in the parking lot if you want. And everyone else was like, I was told later on that I guess they'd called the cops to come.
Why? Because you were inviting James to a fight?
Yeah. But I was inviting him. He didn't have to accept. And he didn't, wisely.
I, quote, invited James to fight me in the parking lot.
I mean, this is crazy.
I know, absolutely
madness. But I get it. It's like, you just want to, like, this guy has such a punchable face. And then he's so insufferable. He has a tattoo on his arm that says, blame James. Does that not tell you everything you need to know about this
guy?
Just like, that is fucking infuriating.
I know. Well, by 2005, Lisa and James, their relationship is falling apart.
Now, everyone can tell. So people are inviting James to fight in the parking lot. They're quitting in dramatic fashion, but people can also tell that Lisa Frank and James, it's not going well.
Yes.
They'd be fighting, storming out, running
she's
out
crying. Like she's literally calling out his work in front of the employees.
Like embarrassing each other.
One of them said, and like you could tell that he was saying it in the tone of voice he knew her to say. Like apparently one of the things she would say is, true to form. And you could like hear her all through the Rainbow Gulag.
Like, please.
That you can see from heaven.
But really. I mean? So this is how this episode ends, that they, of course, file for divorce. And if you think it's going to be a nice, easy, smooth sailing right. situation, boy, are you wrong. They're both going to try to make themselves miserable. And also their kids.
Yeah.
And so it ends with, like, the reminder, once again, that it's never puppies and rainbows, even when it is literally puppies and rainbows.
Now, fam, we told you, part two of this is available right now and ad-free at the $5 level on Patreon. It's going to be a regular episode next week. It is when I tell you that I was riveted for the
crazy.
Second part of this. It really, really, really gets insane.
It gets crazy.
Yeah. So that's it. I'm just telling you how you can find it.
Yeah, so that's next week. That's what you have to look forward
to
next week.
That's what it's going
to
be. Oh, girl, we did the first part of Lisa. What is it? Glitter and what?
It's Glitter and Greed, the Lisa Frank story.
I keep on calling it like Glitter and Gold, but that should be like the Tonya Harding story.
Oh, yeah.
You know
probably
what I mean?
Is.
Yeah, it probably is. Fam, don't forget, we started a, what's it called?
A Discord.
We started a Discord. I'm in there. Jillian's in there.
Yes.
Everyone's in there. Come hang out. It's a new way to connect. It's a new way to find community. It's a little bit more organized than the Facebook group, but the Facebook group is also still going strong. We are also in there. We will be every day as well.
Yep.
The Discord is also heavily moderated, just like the Facebook group. So it's a very safe place, and it's a super fun place to be. And that's where you can find information on the book club.
Yeah. And like everything.
And
meetups or anything you want to do. There's going to be channels for every single thing you can imagine. So.
Exactly. So that's it. So there's a link to that in the show notes, and you can also go to the website, truecrimeassess.com. It's all there as well.
Yep.
And that's it. We don't have to tell you what we're doing next because you know.
So we'll see you either right now or next week, or we'll see you.
Or whenever. Or in 25 years from now when you're listening to us for the first time.
Or that.
You know what I mean?
Welcome.
Isn't that wild?
It is wild.
All right, bye.
Okay, bye.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall.
No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.